Jina Margaret Aġus, sen milkom u nil-għakom għal program ieħor il-ħrejjef, l-erf u l-maġija. Aħħar program tkellimna dwar kemm il-ħrejjef tal-aħwa Grimm kienu jappellaw għal-Ġermaniżi tat-19-il seklu. Edna wkoll illi l-aħwa Grimm kienu populisti u kienu jdaħlu elementi kemm fl-istorja kif ukoll fil-karattri li l-Ġermaniżi setgħu jidentifikaw ruħhom magħhom. U dawn iż-żewġ kittieba aħwa ħadu karattri li l-Ġermaniżi kienu jħobbu jiżżuffjettaw bihom bħal Hans u Gretel u seba' ġwebix. Għalkemm kif jistqar Dr. Henry Wasserman, skular ludi, li l-Ġermaniżi ma kinux meqjusin daqshekk antisemitiċi bħala nazzjon, għaliex il-Pollakki u l-Ungheriżi kienu ferm aktar? Minn ċerta riċerka letterarja, xorta waħda jidher li kien hemm ċerta diskriminazzjoni kontra l-Lut, u fil-ħrejjef li għandi għalikom illum se naraw kif il-karattru ludi ma tantx jiġi deskritt b'mod sabiħ. Iżda qabel ma naslu biex nisimgħu dawn il-ħrejjef, se naraw x'kitbet il-kittieba Ġermaniża Fanny Lewald fl-autobiografija tagħha. Hi kienet ġejja minn familja Ludija Ġermaniża u mwielda ġo Königsberg ġo l-Prussja. Fil-fatt kienet tgħix fl-istess żmien tal-aħwa Grimm. Kunjomhom, kunjom din il-familja, kien Markus, iżda missiera li kien negozjant fl-1831 biddel kunjomhom għal Lewald minħabba id-diskriminazzjoni li kien hemm. U l-qudiem fis-serja se nitkellmu dwar din il-kittieba li kitbet ukoll ħrejjef u se naqraw ukoll biċċiet mill-autobiografija tagħha li hija interessanti immens. Issa dawn mhux tal-li kellhom ibidlu kunjomhom, issa wkoll din il-mara ħasset li biex tkun aċċettata kellha tibdel ukoll ir-reliġjon tagħha u saret Kristjana kif il-fatt tagħmlu ħuta, għall-eċċezzjoni tal-missieru l-om. U l-protagonista ta' Fanny Lewald li jisimha Jenny tagħmel l-istess. Ftin in-novella Lewald tajt kemm kienet iġibilha xkiel fis-soċjetà il-fatt li kienet ludija, fejn il-barrani ma tantx kien aċċettat aħseb wara il-lut. U Fanny Lewald fil-autobiografija tagħha Meine Lebensgeschichte, My Life Story, tisqar li l-gvern bit-taparsi sforzi tiegħu li jagħti lill-lut iktar indipendenza iktar issegregom mill-Kristjani. U tkompli tajt Fanny Lewald li l-lut ippruvaw isemgħu leħinhom biex din id-diskriminazzjoni tieqaf. Fanny tisqar li f'ħajjitha kienet ċieda ta' din id-diskriminazzjoni tant li tipproġetta da kollu fuq il-protagonista tagħha Jenny li tispiċċa tmut fin-novella għaliex Fanny ma setax tara triq oħra għal din il-protagonista Ludija li kellha tibdel ħajjitha biex tiġi aċċettata mis-soċjetà biex imbagħad spiċċa tobot lilha nfisha. Fanny Lewald nifisa kienet ħoss l-istigma u kienet qalet Das wir Juden wären und es schlimm sei ein Jude zu sein. Darube war ich aber mit 5 Jahren noch ehe ich in die Schule gebracht wurde vollkommen im Klaren. F'kelma waħda hawnhekk tajt li tkun ludi kienet diġà xi ħaġa ħażina. U dan Fanny Lewald irrealizzatu minn qabel l-età ta' 5 snin meta bdiet tmur l-iskola. U din id-diskriminazzjoni ikomplu jiġduh l-aħwa Grimm fil-ħrejjef tagħhom. Kif għedna fil-programm li għadda, dawn ukoll kienu qegħdin jidbu karattri li kienu jaraw madwarhom, iżda forsi aktar minn karattri kienu qed jaraw stereotipi li kienet qed toħloq soċjetà intolleranti. Il-periklu kien li dawn il-ħrejjef kienu qegħdin jaqraw mit-tfal li kif il-fatt għadhom jagħmlu sal-lum. Wieħed jista' jimmaġina naqra x'elementi intaġnu u nħemew fl-imħuħ tas-soċjetà Ġermaniża tat-19-il seklu u se taraw x'idea kellhom tal-lut. F'din il-ħrafa, The Good Bargain tal-Aħwa Grimm. A peasant had driven his cow to the fair and sold her for 7 talers. On the way home, he had to walk past a pond, and already from afar he heard the frogs crying, "Ack, ack, ack, ack," which in his language sounded like 8, 8, 8, 8, which in German is acht. "Well," he said to himself, "they are talking nonsense. It is 7 that I was paid, not 8. When he reached the water, he shouted to them, "You are stupid creatures. Don't you know any better than that? It is 7 talers, not 8. The frogs, however, kept up with their "ack, ack, ack, ack." "Now then, if you won't believe it, I can count it out for you." Then taking his money out of his pocket, he counted out the 7 talers. 24 groschen in each one. However, the frogs paid no attention to his counting and again cried out, "Ack, ack, ack, ack." "Aha," shouted the peasant quite angry. "If you think that you know better than I do, then count it yourselves." And he threw all the money at them into the water. He stood still, wanting to stay there until they were finished and had returned his money to him. But the frogs did not budge from their opinion and continued to cry out, "Ack, ack, ack, ack." And furthermore, they did not throw the money back to him. He waited a long time until evening finally came and he had to go home. Then he cursed the frogs, shouting at them, "You water splashers, you thickheads, you goggle eyes, you have big mouths and can shout until a person's ears hurt, but you cannot count 7 talers. Do you think that I want to stand here until you are finished?" Then he walked away, with the frogs still crying out after him, "Ack, ack, ack, ack." He arrived at home in a sour mood. Some time later he bought himself another cow, which he slaughtered. He calculated that if he sold the meat for a good price, he could earn as much as the 2 cows had been worth together, and have the hide as well. He went to town with the meat. An entire pack of dogs had gathered together just outside the town gate, with a large greyhound at the head of the pack. The greyhound jumped at the meat, sniffing and barking.
"Bow, wow, bow, wow."
When the dog would not stop, the peasant said to him, "Yes, I understand that you are saying bow, wow, because you want some of the meat, but I would be in a fine state if I gave it to you." The dog's only answer was, "Bow, wow." "Will you not eat it all up? And will you be responsible for your companions?"
"Bow, wow," said the dog.
"Well, if you insist on it, I will leave it with you. I know you well, and I know who your master is. But I'm telling you, I must have my money in 3 days, or you will be sorry. You can just bring it out to me." With this, he unloaded the meat and turned back towards home. The dogs jumped on the meat, barking loudly, "Bow, wow." The peasant heard them from afar and said to himself, "Listen, they all want some, but the big dog will be responsible for it." When 3 days had passed, the peasant thought, "Tonight you'll have the money in your pocket," and was quite satisfied. But no one came to pay him. "No one is to be trusted nowadays," he said. Finally, he lost his patience and went to town, and to the butcher, from whom he demanded his money. The butcher thought it was a joke, but the peasant said, "All joking aside, I want my money. Did not the big dog bring home to you an entire slaughtered cow 3 days ago?" Then the butcher grew angry, picked up a broomstick, and chased him out.
"Wait," said the peasant.
There is still some justice in the world. And he went to the royal palace and asked for a hearing. He was led before the king, who was sitting there with his daughter. The king asked him what injury he had suffered.
Alas, he said, the frogs and the dogs stole my belongings from me, and the butcher paid me for my losses with a stick.
Then he told them everything that had happened. At this, the king's daughter began to laugh out loud, and the king said to him,
I cannot make that right for you, but instead you shall have my daughter for your wife. She had never laughed before in all her life, until just now at you, and I have promised her to the man who could make her laugh. You can thank God for your good fortune.
Oh, answered the peasant,
I do not want her. I have one wife at home already, and she's too much for me. Whenever I go home, it is just as if I had a wife standing in every corner.
Then the king grew angry and said,
You are a lout.
Alas, your majesty, answered the peasant, what can you expect from an ox but beef?
Oh, wait, replied the king, you shall have another reward. Get out of here for now, but come back in 3 days, and then 500 shall be counted out for you in full.
When the peasant passed through the gate, the sentry said,
You made the king's daughter laugh, so you must have received something very good.
Yes, that's right, answered the peasant. 500 are to be counted out to me.
Listen, said the soldier, give me some of it. How can you spend all that money?
Because it is you, said the peasant. You shall have 200. In 3 days, report to the king and have it counted out for you.
A Jew, who had been standing nearby and had overheard the conversation, ran after the peasant, took hold of his coat and said,
Miracle of God! What a child of fortune you are! I will change it for you. I will change it for you into smaller coins. What do you want with hard talers?
Jew, said the peasant, you can have 300. Give it to me right now in coins. 3 days from now, you will be paid for it by the king.
The Jew was delighted with his small profit and brought the sum in bad groschen, three of which were worth 2 good ones. After 3 days had passed, in keeping with the king's order, the peasant went before the king.
Pull off his coat, said the king. He shall have his 500.
Alas, said the peasant,
they no longer belong to me. I gave 200 of them to the sentry, and the Jew has changed 300 for me, so rightfully nothing more belongs to me.
In the meantime, the soldier and the Jew entered and demanded what they had received from the peasant, and they received the blows carefully counted out. The soldier bore it patiently, for he already knew how it tasted. But the Jew cried out pitifully,
Oh my! Oh my! Are these the hard tailors?
The king had to laugh at the peasant, and when his anger had subsided, he said,
Because you lost your reward even before you received it, I will replace it for you. Go into my treasure chamber and take as much money for yourself as you want.
The peasant did not need to be told twice, and he stuffed as much as would fit into his big pockets. After that, he went to an inn and counted out his money. The Jew had crept up after him and heard him muttering to himself,
That rascal of a king has cheated me after all. If he himself had given me the money, then I would know how much I have. Now how can I know if what I had the luck to put into my pockets is right?
God forbid, said the Jew to himself. He is speaking disrespectfully of his majesty. I will run and report him, and then I shall get a reward, and furthermore he will be punished.
When the king heard what the peasant had said, he fell into a rage, and ordered the Jew to go and bring the offender to him. The Jew ran to the peasant and said,
"You are to go to His Majesty the King at once, and just as you are."
"I know better than what is right," answered the peasant. "First let me have a new coat made for myself. Do you think that a man with so much money in his pockets should go before the king in his tattered old coat?" The Jew, seeing that the peasant could not be moved without another coat, and fearing that if the king's anger cooled, he himself would lose his reward, and the peasant his punishment, said,
"Out of pure friendship, I will lend you a handsome coat for a little while." "What people will not do for love?"
The peasant was satisfied with this, put on the Jew's coat, and went off with him. The king confronted the peasant with the evil things the Jew had accused him of saying.
"Oh," said the peasant, "what a Jew says is always a lie. No true word ever comes out of his mouth. That rascal there is even capable of claiming that I have his coat on." "What are you saying?" shouted the Jew. "Is that coat not mine? Did I not lend it to you out of pure friendship, so that you could appear before His Majesty the King?"
When the king heard this, he said,
"For sure the Jew has deceived one of us, either myself or the peasant."
And once again he had the Jew paid out in hard talers. The peasant, however, went home wearing the good coat, and with the good money in his pockets, saying to himself, "This time I made it." Però ma noqodux ninħibew wara subajna, għaliex minu familjari mal-Merchant of Venice ta' Shakespeare li nkitbet fis-16-il seklu diġà jaf se ngħid, għaliex il-lut kellhom u forsi sfortunatament għad għandhom il-fama li dawn huma xħaħ u li għall-flus lesti li jagħmlu kollox. Forsi daw ġralhom paġver biex sistew, qalgħu il-flus, beżgħu għalihom, u qanqlu l-ajra ta' kull min kellu xi jaqsam magħhom. Fil-fatt l-aħwa Grimm kitbu kemm il-leġġenda u kemm il-ħrafa dwar il-lut. Sinsebgħalkom issa ħrafa li jisima The Jew in the Bush. Magħrufa wkoll bħala The Jew in the Thorns, Der Jude im Dorn. Sa dik kienet ħrafa ġejja mill-qedem u ma kienitx essenzjalment Ġermaniża u flok il-karattru tal-ludi. Fil-fatt fl-antik kien hemm Patri Kattoliku, kienu l-aħwa Grimm li introduċew dan l-element ludi. Din ir-rafa ġiet inkluża f'antoloġija tal-aqwa 50 ħrafa tal-aħwa Grimm, u kien hawnhekk li tfal Ġermaniżi ġew introdotti ma' dan il-karattru ludi. Issa fil-ħrafa il-ludi ta' The Jew in the Bush jiġi mgħallaq. Iżda fil-verżjoni bikrija ta' Grimm dan il-karattru jgħaddi minn umiljazzjoni u tortura li ma bħala. Isimgħu id-dettalji orrendi ta' din ir-rafa. Mhux talli żaqqu tiġi mċarta u miftuħa beraħ biex fiha jitwaddab il-ġebel, iżda simgħu naqra waħda. Dawn il-famużi aħwa Grimm x'daħlilhom f'moħħhom. Tefgħuh ġo forn. U mbagħad jispiċċa mgħallaq wara ħafna żebbieħ ta' nies li kienu qegħdin jassistu għal dak kollu. Dr. Henry Wasserman, l-iskular ludi, ammetti li ma jixtieqx jagħmel konnessjoni bejn il-kitba tal-aħwa Grimm u l-Olokawst, il-qirda ta' tant u tant lut fit-tieni gwerra dinjija, imma jasal biex jgħid hekk: "Of creating a brand new malevolent tale, legitimized, as it were, by the bogus stamp of antiquity." Għalkemm fi żmien ir-Repubblika Weimar tal-1919 din ir-rafa tħallit barra, fi żmien in-Nażiżmu di reġa tfaċċat. Mela, tix nisimawa The Jew in the Bush. A farmer had a faithful and diligent servant who had worked hard for him 3 years without having been paid any wages. At last it came to the man's head that he would not go on thus without paying any longer, so he went to his master and said,
I have worked hard for you a long time. I will trust to you to give me what I deserve to have for my trouble."
The farmer was a sad miser and knew that his man was very simple-hearted, so he took out 3 pence and gave him for every year's service a penny. The poor fellow thought it was a great deal of money to have and said to himself,
"Why should I work hard and live here on bad fare any longer? I can now travel into the new world and make myself merry."
With that, he put his money into his purse and set out roaming over hill and valley. As he jogged along over the fields, singing and dancing, a little dwarf met him and asked him what made him so merry.
"Why, what should make me downhearted?" said he. "I am sound in health and rich in purse. What should I care for? I have saved up my 3 years' earnings and have it all safe in my pocket."
"How much may it come to?" said the little man.
"Full 3 pence," replied the countryman.
"I wish you would give them to me," said the other. "I am very poor."
Then the man pitied him and gave him all he had, and the little dwarf said in return,
"As you have such a kind, honest heart, I will grant you 3 wishes, one for each penny, so choose whatever you like."
Then the countryman rejoiced at his good luck and said,
"I like many things better than money. First, I will have a bow that will bring down everything I shoot at. Secondly, a fiddle that will set everyone dancing that hears me play upon it. And thirdly, I should like that everyone should grant what I ask."
The dwarf said he should have his 3 wishes, so he gave him the bow and fiddle and went his way. Our honest friend journeyed on his way too, and if he was merry before, he was now 10 times more so. He had not gone far before he met an old Jew. Close by them stood a tree, and on the topmost twig sat a thrush, singing away most joyfully.
"Oh, what a pretty bird," said the Jew. "I would give a great deal of money to have such a one."
"If that's all," said the countryman, "I will soon bring it down." Then he took up his bow, and down fell the thrush into the bushes at the foot of the tree. The Jew crept into the bush to find it, but directly he had got into the middle. But as he had got into the middle, his companion took up his fiddle and played away. And the Jew began to dance and spring about, capering higher and higher in the air. The thorns soon began to tear his clothes, till they all hung in rags about him. And he himself was all scratched and wounded, so that the blood ran down.
"Oh, for heaven's sake!" cried the Jew. "Master! Master! Pray let the fiddle alone! What have I done to deserve this?" "Thou hast shaved many a poor soul close enough," said the other. "Thou art only meeting thy reward."
So he played up another tune. Then the Jew began to beg and promise, and offered money for his liberty, but he did not come up to the musician's price for some time, and he danced him along brisker and brisker, and the Jew bid higher and higher, till at last he offered a round 100 of florins that he had in his purse, and had just gained by cheating some poor fellow. When the countryman saw so much money, he said,
"I will agree to your proposal." So he took the purse, put up his fiddle, and travelled on very well pleased with his bargain.
Meanwhile the Jew crept out of the bush half naked and in a piteous plight, and began to ponder how he should take his revenge and serve his late companion some trick. At last he went to the judge and complained that the rascal had robbed him of his money and beaten him into the bargain, and that the fellow who did it carried a bow at his back and a fiddle hung round his neck. Then the judge sent out his officers to bring up the accused wherever they should find him, and he was soon caught and brought up to be tried. The Jew began to tell his tale, and said he had been robbed of his money.
"No, you gave it to me for playing a tune to you," said the countryman.
But the judge told him that was not likely, and cut the matter short by ordering him off to the gallows. And the man requested the judge to grant him a wish, and the Jew insisted that he shouldn't. But the judge said,
"It is only for this once. He will soon have done."
The fact was, he could not refuse the request on account of the dwarf's 3rd gift. Then the Jew said,
"Bind me fast,
Bind me fast, for pity's sake.
But the countryman seized his fiddle and struck up a tune, and at the first note, judge, clerks, and jailer were in motion. All began capering, and no one could hold the Jew. And so everybody started dancing. At first the thing was merry and pleasant enough, but when it had gone on a while, and there seemed to be no end of playing or dancing, they began to cry out and beg him to leave off. Then he called to the Jew and said, "Tell us now, you vagabond, where you got that gold, or I shall play on for your amusement only."
"I stole it," said the Jew in the presence of all the people. "I acknowledge that I stole it, and that you earned it fairly."
Then the countryman stopped his fiddle and left the Jew to take his place at the gallows. Tama li program tal-lum oġobkom u fil-program li jmiss maħniex semmorru l-bot u laf iż-żmien u lanqas ġeografikament għaliex se nitkellmu dwar il-kittieb Daniż Hans Christian Andersen ta' 19-il seklu u l-ħrejjef tiegħu. U bis-saħħa tal-ħrejjef se nsiru nafu ħafna affarijiet kurjużi dwar dan il-kittieb. Fil-fatt kellu relazzjoni ferm stramba kemm mas-sess femminili kif ukoll ma' dak maskili. Kien ukoll reliġjuż fanatiku u kien iżomm Djarju tassew personali u tassew imbarazzanti. Fil-fatt ma nax kif ser neċinu nispjegalkom x'kien iżomm fih dan id-djarju. Insomma karattru mimli kontradizzjonijiet u kurjuż immens. Mela tinsewx tkunu miegħi għal programm ieħor il-ħrejjef l-erf u l-maġija, jiena Margita Juice insemmilkom.